Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon and welcome to episode number 203 of the 31st Lap. I'm Chris Marquardt. Joining us here on the hotline is Sean Roos. We're going to be catching up with him, talk a little bit about his outstanding run thus far over at Outlaw Speedway, winning three straight races now with the IMCA division. He's got four wins on the year. Pretty successful return to racing for Sean over there at that oval in Dundee. But the big news so far right now that is dominating most of social media is the news that Oswego Speedway is going to be the home of Super Dirt Week coming up this October. Cuomo, he was in Oswego today in a report written by Bill Foley on Dirt Track Digest announcing a $10 million downtown revitalization award, and then met with the media after the announcement where he touched on Super Dirt Week as well as some of the nuclear plant status. And during the news session, he said the plan is to hold Super Dirt Week at the Oswego Speedway. Center of New York Raceway Park was supposed to be the home of it. Monies are tied up in the state. That's been reported multiple times now, and the reason why progress has slowed over there in Hannibal, New York. So they had to find an alternate plan. And right now it looks like Oswego Speedway is going to be the home, so that's kind of exciting. One of the reporters asked if it was going to be the long-term site for Dirt Week, but there was there wasn't anything committed past this year at this point. It's pretty awesome that we've got a home going forward, and we're going to try and get a hold of Danny Kay up at Oswego Speedway here in the coming weeks to talk a little bit more as these details come to fruition again. So the plan right now is that Super Dirt Week is going to be held at Oswego Speedway. It's kind of neat that that's coming together the way that it is. Some more national news. Stu Friesen was hot lapping a KBM Motorsports Camping World truck that is owned by Hallmar International, getting that ready to go this week at Eldora Speedway. So he's going to be in action driving with the Camping World Truck Series, which is pretty neat. The plan is that is going to be July the 20th. The modifieds are going to be in town. We're going to see the modifieds running later on at Sharon Speedway. Modified is going to be Eldora two nights, I believe, both Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's that's pretty cool. The Richard Childress Racing Engine is going to be in it. Willie Auchmoody and Gary Ballou helping put this together. J.R. Hefner is going to be in a Camping World truck as well. We're also going to see Rico Abreu, obviously, going to be in the truck at that one. There's a lot of talk that perhaps Brian Clausen is going to be in one of those trucks as well. So watching that as it develops, too, it would be great to see Stu Friesen come away with the win in that event. Additional news relating to that, last Friday at Kentucky Speedway, William Byron come away with the win in the Camping World Truck Series. William Byron was a guest here on the 31st lap back in January of 2014, so that was kind of neat to see him moving up through the ranks and finding some success for himself. Do a quick rundown here before we bring Sean on, just to recap everything that's happening here. Locally, Stu Friesen, he won a couple races last week. On the topic of Stu, he won the Super Dirt Car Series event at Albany Saratoga, and then he won at Mohawk. That brings his tour total to three. He won the Big Show 8 with Brett Hearn's event by 0.08 seconds over Billy Decker. It was a nail-biter of a finish. He took the lead from front row starter Vic Coffey and pulled away, and then Decker, once he cleared Matt Shepard, he was on his heels and broke through for the win. In the 100-lapper at Mohawk, Friesen dominated the race after getting the lead away from Tim Fuller and Billy Dunn. He got up to Dunn and Dunn to the bottom on lap 48, scrubbing the moment off and completing the pass on lap 49, and then checked out from there. Locally, Alan Johnson kept his streak alive, winning for the 42nd consecutive season in his career. That dates back to 1975. Pretty impressive streak for Alan Johnson. He won the modified feature at Outlaw Speedway. Steve Payne was second. Brent Ayers came away with his first Sportsman 25-lap feature over Brett Borno and Todd Hayward. Sean Bruce, as we talked about, picked up his fourth IMCA win of the year and third straight over Matt Cole and Brandon Smith. Gigi Kreidler took his third four-cylinder division, and Billy Bowers, Ray Heyer, was in tow. Jordan Bacon won his second straight youth main, and Brewerton and Spencer Speedway both rained out. On Friday, Canandaigua, Billy Decker finally cashed in to win. It was his first win there since June of 2011, so good to see him back in victory lane in Mike Payne's car. Kevin Ridley got back to victory lane with a sportsman. Mike Welch won the combined pure and street stock features. Jason Doty was a top finishing pure stock. Eric Carlson, who was our guest last week, he came away with a win in the 305s. Chad Holman winning again in the late model division. Jeremy Corcoran there announced that he was in the final phase of becoming the promoter of Rolling Wheels Raceway. His first race is going to be August 17th with the running of the scheduled Super Dirt Car Series. Originally, that event was planned to be held at Century Oak Raceway Park, now being moved to Rolling Wheels. Larry White coming away with a win in at Fulton. He also won over at Utica. And last Monday at the Sportsman Classic, Ron Davis, he won that 75-lapper. Kyle Inman and Cody McPherson followed him. Jim Young got over Tyler Walker in the NY6A feature. Connor Cleveland won over Dave Marcicelli and Rocker Warner in the last call event delayed from last fall. There was news there pertaining to Central New York Raceway Park as well that Weedsport is going to bring the Super Dirt Car Series in, moving their July 24th date in lieu of travel time for the spectators. So that's going to be pretty cool to see when that all comes together. That is going to be aired with the 360s on MAV TV. So kind of fun to watch as all this stuff starts to develop now as we learn more about Central New York Raceway Park. Really exciting to hear about the news about Oswego Speedway and that now being the home for the 2016 edition of Super Dirt Week. So, Sean Bruce, man, congratulations on the win. You've got a heck of a run going for yourself over there at Outlaw Speedway. And, you know, basically welcome back to the racing world. Got back into it after a little bit of time away, and it's certainly paying some dividends in the IMCAs.
Boy, it certainly has. That and the fact that my crew chief has matured a lot, too, and learned a lot of things to make this car work.
You know, tell me what the IMCA is like to drive. I mean, we've had a couple IMCA focus shows, and it's a little bit of a different animal given the tires that are on. It makes a little bit of a challenge, but you've certainly been able to get a handle on it.
Oh, absolutely! These cars are a lot about finesse.
Uh-huh.
You just cannot bowl them. there's no give. Of course, if you're either on or you're off with your setup. The tires we run are only 8 inches wide, and they're 60 on the durometer, right there about. Some are a little harder, some are just a little softer, but they're generally right about a 60. And so you're not able to have a lot of tire to put to the track.
In terms of Outlaw, in your return to racing, how did all this come about? Because you decided to step away from racing for a little while, and now you've gotten back into it, running the IMCA car. What happened that brought you away from racing and then ultimately back to it?
Well, there were some issues going on with the class. We'd lost our regional director, and things were getting a little out of hand. I had actually made some new commitments to our local park and took that position on and decided last year that I was going to commit to that fully. And, of course, we're still committed to that. However, we're finding time to race. But the biggest thing is the reason we came back is the car sat there and all ready to go. And my boys, Nick and Zach, said, "Dad, you need to get back on the racetrack. We're going to have this car ready to go. And we're going to put you back on the racetrack." And I said, "Okay, let's give her a whirl." I would have never, ever guessed, especially after being away, that we'd have this much success.
You alluded to the maturity of the crew chief and the focus that you have to have on finesse in terms of getting those cars around the track. It certainly is a momentum thing. You can't be trying to blow the tires off it. It's all about throttle control and getting the power to hook up. What's the difference? I mean, is it changes at Outlaw? Is it changes in your driving style? Again, the maturity thing? What's the big difference?
Well, believe it or not, I've got to attribute it to all three. I like the Outlaw track because it's just a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I figured at my age I was going to try that, so like reflexes are a little slower. I'm not so sure that having a little slower reflexes is making me finesse the car. As a driver, I think I learned a few things and maybe got a little hungry while I was off. And my son Nicholas is the crew chief, and he spent a year out at UNOH in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And worked with their E-Mod cars.
Yep.
And now he's actually found a specialty, but he's doing an engineering degree, so he's really getting into angles and the mathematics and what effects, what changes makes effects in different parts of the car, and a lot of reading and a lot of desire to put his old man in victory lane.
So you're talking about, you know, geometries and things that you can do with the suspension.
Absolutely, and that's, this car is all about geometry.
Yeah.
There's, believe it or not, in these IMCA cars, the left rear spring is completely unloaded when you're under throttle.
Really?
It's all about mechanical traction.
Huh. So is that just a product of, it's supposed to be unloaded, or that's the way it is for every car? You want it to have nothing on it so the body's rolling over and it rotates better through the corner?
Yes, and that's exactly what it does. It makes the cars rotate through the turns and gives it the forward drive, even though we're running on these, I call them bricks for tires. The good thing is we all have to run that tire. We have no options.
Right.
And we can't groove them. All we can do is buff them up and siphon them a little bit. And it makes it a really, really competitive class.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was somewhat a revolving door victory lane in the first couple weeks of the season in your class at Outlaw. And now, you know, we've settled down a little bit. We've seen Rich Karnowski break through a couple times, and you've been in there four times now. That's offering a little bit of consistency to the faces that the fans are seeing. Certainly your sponsors have got to be happy with that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And the fans at Outlaw have been pretty receptive, too. That's another nice thing. I've never ran a full season up there.
Mm-hmm.
In all the years that I have ran. And this year we decided we're going to commit to one track and run just one track. Budget's a little too tight to go out and run two or three times a week like we used to. And I don't know if physically I'm up for it anymore, but
sure.
We chose Outlaw. I'm pretty glad that we did because things are going quite well for us. Siri's doing a great job as far as I'm concerned. Track. He's had some issues. He's had some major growing pains. The track was extremely rough at the beginning of the year. We stuck it out, and things are getting better as far as the surface goes. He's still having some growing pains with that, but track prep, I know, takes a lot of work.
Yep. And what's a rough surface do in terms of upsetting the stability of an IMCA car? I mean, we've talked a lot on the show with modified drivers and 360 sprint car drivers, but we've never really gotten into that leg of the conversation with somebody that's regular in the IMCA. I imagine some of the things are the same, but you've got that hard tire on it. How does that change things?
Well, one of the things with these cars is if you change the geometry of these bars while you're going through the middle of the turn, and you immediately pick up a push. And so you can pick up a push, and then when you're back on the throttle, the car will snap loose extremely quick. But it really, really messes up the geometry and the angles of the bars that make the traction. And a rough surface sometimes is pretty difficult.
Sure.
Almost like driving on eggshells, so to speak, and the car is very unpredictable. You may be going at a nice pace at one time, and the next time, you know, get half a car width wider trying to make a pass or just make that much of a change trying to search for some grip, and you'll all of a sudden go into a push. of course, then you got to be careful. You don't want to take that guy on the outside for a ride.
You got to have some pretty good stories racing with the IMCAs as long as you have. First, has it always been IMCA cars for you, or were you running modifieds or 360s or anything like that beforehand? I know you're down in Pennsylvania. It's a pretty popular area for the sprint cars.
Actually, years ago, I started out with the Enduros right out of high school.
Right.
And we did that a little bit. And a local track opened up, two local tracks. One of them, which I had an interest in for several years. Of course, I couldn't run on that one. That was a Friday night track, and a Saturday night track opened up, and I happened to build a car. And we built a mini stock, a Mercury Capri. And similar to what they have now at Outlaw, but we were a lot more modified, run a lot better tires and whatnot.
Right.
And I ran that car for 4 years. My first year, able to get Rookie of the Year, and went on to win three championships consecutively after that, and picked up a ride in a street stock.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to halfway through the year, the driver, the car owner, decided we were going to go with a semi late.
Yeah.
We took the street stock, did a lot of modifications, and went to a semi-late, ran Clearfield and Dog Hollow. And beginning the next year, we started out with the super late. So we spent 4 years in the super late, just kind of traveling around and running some of the local shows, and then we did the UDTRA just a little bit.
Right.
Touch and go. So, and the nice thing about that was is the suspension in them are very similar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I had learned there, I was able to put it toward the IMCA at the beginning.
Right.
But of course, I had to learn that you couldn't be as aggressive at the beginning with it. Just a whole lot of difference in tires.
Have you ever had a chance to run the IMCA with the bigger tires on it like they do in the Midwest?
I have not.
No,
I have not. I've often wondered about that. I'd like to take and sometime put a spoiler on and run this thing with the E mods or the Mid Atlantic series.
Right.
And we'd actually talked about doing that this year a little bit, but things start coming together so nicely at Outlaw. We've decided that we're just going to leave things alone and finish out the season there.
It sounds like you might ought to just build a second car so you can go tour with it.
Well, we did that. It had a two-car team for a while, and of course I ran both cars.
Right.
Sold one of them. Again, the budget got kind of tight. We're all self-funded.
Right.
And, so we sold the one car, and down to just, I have a BMS that I got from bought new from Close Racing out in Eldridge. And, boy, it's been a really good car. Of the cars I've driven, I've never had one that rotated like this car does.
Is that a product?
It's a drive and bike, but it rotates really well.
Is that a product of new technology, new engineering, or are race cars just like produce at the store? Sometimes you get good ones and sometimes you get bad ones.
It's a little bit of both, and some of it's just preference. Of course, we all know every driver is going to be a little bit different. Don't put some guys in a loose race car; or they'll dump it every lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I prefer a car that's a little bit on the tighter side, probably than some. I just feel more comfortable with that side bite.
Is that a late model carryover? You want the car a little bit tighter because you know it's going to be so free once you get through the corner?
Yep, absolutely. That was just a carry, like you said, that was a late model carryover. So, you know, you get used to one and you have to retrain the driver. Sometimes it's easier to change the car.
So, I mean, I imagine you've had quite a bit of fun running the super late models and working up through the ranks with the hobby stock and then the semi-late and stuff like that. Is there any place that you don't race at now with the IMCA that you wish you could go back to?
Well, one place I'd really like to go back to this fall, if I can, you know, we could keep, especially if we keep having the success we're having, I'd love to go back out to Boone, Iowa, for the Super Nationals, if we can find some funding. We were out there 2012. Ran pretty well. Of course, we've learned a lot since then, too.
Right.
But one place that I raced the Super late on, really, yes, actually, there's two places. One is called Ponderosa Speedway in Kentucky. I think it's just maybe an hour west of Mount Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was, I really, really had a great time when I raced at Eldora with the Super Late. And I kind of jealous of Stuart Friesen getting to go out there and take that truck.
How do you think he's going to do?
If they can get that truck to his liking, the NASCAR boys don't stand a chance.
Right. Yeah, the Super Dirt Car Series.
Clean them up.
Super Dirt Car Series is going to be at Eldora back-to-back nights Tuesday the 19th and Wednesday the 20th before they go to Sharon Speedway on the 21st. And again, the date that had been planned for the 24th, given that we've got the 19th, 20th, and 21st in Ohio, and then we come back and Monday and Tuesday, the 25th and 26th, the tour is going to be in Granby and Drummondville. The July 24th event that was scheduled for Weedsport has been moved to Labor Day, so that's going to now be Monday, September the 5th at Weedsport. So it gives everybody a little bit of a chance to regroup, and also gives Weedsport a chance to set their sights on a special event coming up. In September, the track is Weedsport's going to be open again for some activities on the 9th of August. But that Super Dirt Series event, Labor Day weekend, that's been moved from the 24th of July, is going to be a pretty good time. I'm looking forward to that, and I think that coincided with another event that was supposed to happen Labor Day weekend at Central New York Raceway Park, if I'm not mistaken. But Eldora, man, that's a fun track to watch a race at. I've seen the late models run there, seen the modifieds run there. And you just can't beat it. The atmosphere there is like nothing else.
Oh, when I ran there, Earl still owned it. It was prior to Tony Stewart buying it and taking it over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of strange. We come in there for the Eldora Million,
mm-hmm.
and which Donnie Moran won that year, or that only one time.
Right.
But, you know, there was guys there, lines and lines and lines of haulers, big semi-trucks and so on. And at that time, we had an open hauler towing it with a F-550 flat body.
Right.
And we all come over there and said, boy, I am just so glad to see that you're here. And I was always impressed with that. You know, he was like, here's an underdog, a lower-funded team. And here they are, you know, they're out there going to run with these guys. Just never forgot that. And that just kind of made my whole week out there.
How tough is it to figure Eldora out?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, the first time I got on that track, I had two major issues. Number one, I was out to lunch as far as setup. I figured, you know, big track, high speeds, the car's going to tend to be looser. Boy, I was wrong. That's a tight running racetrack. Boy, did we push. Of course, the second thing was I got on that track and it was so fast, I didn't know whether to stand on the gas or stick my head between my legs.
How did you do otherwise? I mean, that was such a legendary event, and it sort of gave birth to some other big late model events that have happened there since. The Eldora Dream was something that everybody come to know and recognize. How did you do in the super lates out there in that $1 million to win show?
Well, we didn't qualify for the big part, of course, the high money part. We did get a couple top fives in some of the I can't remember what they called them. Basically, the money dashes, because he made sure that we all had some racing going on. Even the non-qualifiers had little year brackets.
Right.
But, of course, and that was a real neat event because of that.
Right.
He knew that there were just so many cars going to make the show, and I think it was 24. But there were 400 of us there trying to make it.
Wow.
So we had a lot of little races on, besides the big one, which is, that's one of the reasons, of course, I like the IMC Nationals out in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that. Of course, you run heats, and in the heat, you go to the A main that night. Second place goes to the B main, or at least it was when I was out there. That changes every year depending on the car kit.
Right.
And then they have us. So you run the A main, the B main, and one of the A main goes to the Saturday Night Big Show. So just as line main, you have several opportunities to get into that too. That is tough. A lot of that's luck of the draw, too. You know, you've got to draw a good starting spot, because you're talking top cars in the nation out there, all tough to pass.
Where to from here? I mean, we've talked a little bit about where we've been here and getting out to Iowa again. That would be an awesome opportunity for you. But have you, going forward here locally, is there any place that you want to get to? There's a couple different places that run the IMCAs. There's a couple different opportunities with the series that you made reference to. It would seem that your return to racing isn't going to be a limited engagement. It sounds like you want to keep going and continue to expand. The IMCA seems like it's a pretty good fit for you at this point. Where do we go from here?
I'd like to get up to Skyline at 5 Mile Point. It's always one of my favorite tracks in the area. I'd like to get back up there and run again. They'll have some fall shows after the points are over. And you'll probably find me at the point for some of the fall shows.
Yeah. You like 5 Mile Point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got, a handful of wins, maybe 7 wins over the years up there. My first IMCA win from up there.
Really?
My first series win came from up there.
So what makes you so good at 5 Mile?
I don't know. It's just a track that suits me. It's very similar to what I drove on when I was running the street stock and the hobby stock.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of suits, the track suits me really well.
Matt Shepard picked up the Super Dirt Car Series win at 5 Mile Point here Tuesday night, and the tour is racing tonight in Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania, in Grandview Speedway down there in Pennsylvania. So I'm sure Matt, Stu, and all those guys are going to be certainly forced to contend with down there at Grandview. But Matt coming away with the win at 5 Mile here on Tuesday. Pretty good showing for him. That's his third win on the year. He's doing a great job with that new team, man. Has not missed a beat. Anytime he changes cars, he's right back there in the thick of it, no matter what the circumstances, whether he's a car owner, whether he's driving for somebody else, or any of the other variables that you might encounter with sponsorship and backing. We've seen him do pretty well at 5 Mile Point in the past as well. And Sean coming away with about 7 wins over there at 5 Mile Point. Do you have the drive to try and find your way back into one of the crate late models or one of the other divisions, or is the IMCA pretty much the fit and where things want to stay?
No, I've considered a crate late. I considered the crate sportsman.
Yeah.
I think the crate late's probably the way I'd rather go if I was going to change.
Is there any reason to change right now? You're winning quite frequently over at Outlaw with the IMCA.
Oh, no, we're having a blast. The car's in great shape. No sense in changing anything while it's working.
What was the reaction when you guys broke through for that win for the first time this year? I mean, what type of tone did that set for the team? Obviously, you know, coming back from UNOH, you've got some more know-how in the pits. Everybody's matured a little bit. They're going at things a little bit different way. You've got a track set up that's lending itself well to the way that you want your car hooked up. But still, there had to be a particular degree of apprehension when you're out there, or of not knowing what to expect anyway. You break through for that win. How did that change your outlook on everything in your return?
Well, one of the biggest things that changed was my kids seeing, the crew seeing, and myself seeing that I was still able to wheel the car.
Right.
I was very, very apprehensive.
Yeah.
When we went back. The first couple of weeks we ran, things went pretty decent. I think we ended up with a sixth and a seventh, and I was pretty happy with that. We all of a sudden picked up the wind, and boy, I can still do this. And the excitement in the team, excitement is, of course, the family team, and it was just unreal.
Right.
And then to turn around 2 weeks later, get the second win of the year, was just mind-boggling.
Right.
Of course, then two more in a row after that, it's a dream.
I mean, and you're not running through, you're not racing against five or six cars at a time. There's 15, 16, 18 cars over there at a particular night. So with the handicapping, you're having to make up quite a bit of ground in a short amount of time with that class. How is the car to drive through traffic? It would seem that it's driving pretty well. We've talked about the suspension and the handling, things coming together well, the geometries and how it changed, and the track's been improved. But, you know, that had to also make you feel pretty good to have to come up through the field and get the win than to just start out front and drive away from them.
Yeah, and our first win came from the front row. Our first win this year came from the front row. We started second row, I think, for our second win. This time started seventh or eighth. No, last time we started eighth. Week before we started seventh, so we... And that's been a surprise in itself. Getting out front and holding them off is one thing. Coming from mid pack and then getting up there, that's something else. And there is a good competitive class up there. There's six, seven cars easily, if not more, that could win on any given night. Karlinowski and Harris and Stone. Brad Smith, who picked up a win at Skyline, last week. He's another one. He's got a car that could win at any time. Rodney Morgan was really quick. Matt Cole, when he came in there Saturday or Friday night, he's typically an I-88 car.
Right.
He's fast. He's always been fast, and I've raced with him for quite a few years off and on at different tracks, mainly 5 Mile Point, and we had a really good, really good show. I mean, we were right tight together for a long time, but I got away from him once on a long green run, but that in itself, it's just overcoming the adversity of beating Matt Cole was a pretty tough job, but it's also pretty satisfying.
You talked about the reaction times being so much different. Coming from a super late model and coming back into the IMCAs, it would seem like everything would happen slower in the IMCA car anyway. So is it that your reaction times have slowed down, or you just don't need to react as fast? Is there that much margin for error comparing the late model to the IMCA?
One of the things with the IMCA, you're better off if you don't make any snappy moves. If you snap the wheel one direction or another in one of these, or spike the brakes a little too hard, you're going to be looking around the other direction.
Yeah, just the nature of the car, because it doesn't have the grip on the track that the way other cars would.
Absolutely, yeah. These cars don't have the grip, and if you're not set up right on key, it's you're out of control. And even when you are running a good setup car, you're very near out of control, which is typical of racing.
Sure.
But with these hard tires, there's just no give. You can't run in there, overdrive a corner, and just get lucky and those soft tires will catch you. That doesn't happen with these cars.
Right. That's the nature of the class, though, isn't it? I mean, the hard tire is intended to last multiple weeks, so you're not boiling it off and help to keep costs down.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole plan of these things. They're very expensive to get, very expensive to build. Once you've got the car, and got your power plant and whatnot. Unless you crash them, they're pretty economical as far as maintenance.
Yeah. In terms of that economics, is it? You're not going to get rich racing. Everybody knows that. But is the reward at the end when you come away with the win, if you're finishing well, is it enough to keep the team going? I mean, you've alluded to being self-funded. It's a family team, things like that. Is it an affordable class to run, or is it an affordable class to run if you're winning?
And it's an affordable class to run if you're winning, pretty
yeah.
much. If you can finish top three, your team can be self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's not bad.
unless you have any major, the top threes will get you in, keep you in a set of rear tires. It'll get your fuel to and from the track, fuel for the car. Of course, you get into a melee, it's a $500 bill to replace the one side of the front suspension.
Ooh.
And then you can't sustain it, obviously. So
right.
If you can keep the nose out of trouble and have some good runs, put some good runs together, then it will sustain itself.
How different is the racing climate now in terms of that funding thing for you guys, coming from the hobby stock and then the semi-late, the super late, and now back around to the IMCA after a little bit of time away on top of that? How has the sponsor climate changed? How difficult was it to get sponsors, and how difficult is it now?
Back years ago, you could pick up sponsors. You could get $500 or $1,500 sponsors, a half dozen or dozen of them fairly easily.
Yeah.
Now, with today's economy, today's world, I mean, very, very few people can spare that. I mean, most businesses may profit $1,500 in a month by the time they get through their bottom line and pay the people and pay themselves.
Right.
You don't dare spend that money. You better keep some capital. So
mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult to pick up any kind of funding.
Do you ever go do appearances and things like that with the late model? You know, at a particular sponsor's location?
We did that. We did a couple of times.
Yeah.
We did once with the IMCA. We went to Oaks down at the Philadelphia ARN Expo.
Right.
We took the car down there 1 year, and everybody loved the car. Was in the running for best appearing, but I did not pick up one single sponsorship down there.
It looked good, and that was pretty much the end of the story, huh?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, it's just, of course, and that's a long way south, but they don't have me. You got that, and you have Syracuse, and I'm right between them.
Mm. How far is your toe on a weekly basis?
We're coming up out of Troy. I think it's probably around 80 miles one
yeah.
way.
That's not so bad.
No, it's not terrible, and it's pretty decent highway between here and there. I mean, we're on major routes for the most part.
That's helpful. It makes those miles go by a whole lot faster than if you're doing stop
well.
And go 30, 45, 50, 45, 30, all that nonsense.
Yeah, Millport, Montour Falls, and Walking Glen, they're probably the worst part of the whole trip.
Yeah. You're still using the open trailer?
No. We pulled
It's just a museum piece now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm. What are the odds for this weekend? You going to be able to pick up four in a row?
I think our odds are going to be good. You know, the guys up there have been running really clean. And that's a lot of it is if you've got a car that works and you doesn't have somebody to take you out, which right. happens. I mean, and sometimes it's not on purpose. Generally, it's not on purpose, but I think we're going to have a good shot at it. Making four in a row, which would be a first for me. I've never done four in a row.
No, you've done three in a row, but never four.
Never four.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, man. I'd love to read your name and the results that you picked up four in a row. Last week, Eric Carlson was on, and he went out and he won his feature at Canandaigua, so maybe you can do the same.
We're going to give her a shot. And I'll tell you, I appreciate the fact that, you know, I've drawn some interest in there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, it's a fan sport, and the fact that I've got some fans that have a fan base that started to develop,
right,
makes me want to run just a little bit harder.
Well, don't go too hard because it gets snappy, and then it gets loose, and then it gets then you're out to lunch.
Well, I can't get much more aggressive at my age anyway.
Is there anybody that you wanted to mention here before we cap our evening?
Well, I definitely want to mention, you know, my son Nicholas, the crew chief, Zach Bruce, an avid, both these guys are kind of an avid demolition derby driver, which I know you're interested in.
Yep, definitely true.
Actually, you met my son Zachary out at the bash.
Yep, sure did.
And they are just... They put all the time in on the car. I work here at our local community park, and that's where I'm sitting here tonight. We're working, trying to get ready for our Troy Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And they just spend a lot of hours on the car, and their commitment to that and their commitment to making me a winner, it's just, I got to thank them, hands down. We don't have any funding at this point. So I can't thank them, but if we did, I'd certainly jump on that too. So
right on.
and the fans, again, the fans being receptive to me.
Well, it's great to see you finding the success down there, and we certainly wish you the best in the coming weeks. Hopefully you can put that four in a row together. That'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be out of my mind, I think, if I can get that fourth one in a row.
Well, go for it, man. Good luck on Friday at Outlaw. Be safe with your travels, and keep in touch as the summer progresses. We'd love to find out where you're running next.
All right. We'll do that.
Sean, man, I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, man. No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There goes Sean Bruce, winner of three in a row over at Outlaw Speedway, four on the year in the IMCA division. So we'll be tracking that here as things progress. As we said, congratulations out to Eric Carlson coming away with a win at Canandaigua Motorsports Park and the 305s again on Saturday, and again to William Byron, who was a guest on the show back in 2014, winning with the Camping World Truck Series at Kentucky over the weekend. So a couple drivers finding some success. Awesome to hear. And looking forward to more interviews and everything. We're going to be off next week. We won't be on next Thursday, but we'll be back the week after that. So we'll be able to check in more and bring more results about the IMCAs over at Outlaw Speedway and all the racing results going on with the Super Dirt Car Series, Empire Super Sprints, and more. That's going to do it for this edition of the 31st Lap. Appreciate everybody coming and hanging out with us. We will see you right here again in 2 weeks.